chapter 3. We're just going to read four verses, 15 to 17, 21 to 22. The people were waiting expectantly and were wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather wheat into the barn, into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And we turn to 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. And so there was a Baptist pastor's son. He was a preacher's kid, a PK. And he saw his dad do many baptisms by immersion, taking people and dunking them and completely and bringing them out. And this little boy, he was like 5 years old, he goes, "I want to do that with our cats." And so first couple kitties were no problem. You know, he just grabbed the kitty. Kitty didn't know what hit him, right? He's like, dunk and up, and the kitty's like, "What?" But the old tomcat put up a good fight. Put up a good fight. Did not want to get in that water. And scratched the boy, and he wrestled with the cat. Cat wouldn't give up. Boy wouldn't give up. Finally, got a little sprinkles on the cat's forehead, and he finally just put down the cat and said, "Fine, be a Methodist." Fine, be a Methodist. So today, as you know, it's all about looking at the baptism of Jesus. As I said, this is a Sunday where many, many, many people are thinking about their baptism. You got one of those cards, and we have many of these. If you didn't get one, let me know. We'll get one to you. If you want to bring one to somebody, if someone missed church today, you can say you should have been to church. You could have got your prayer, your shower prayer today. But I want us to think about how important it is to really look at just a few verses of this gospel lesson, because it's the beginning of Jesus' 3 years of ministry. He's 30 years old. He's lived as a mason or a stone worker or a carpenter. All the scriptures say is that he used his hands. And he's 30 years old. John the Baptist is preparing the way, and he's baptizing everyone, and here comes Jesus. And John says, "No, you're supposed to baptize me, not you." And Jesus says, "No, you must, to fulfill all righteousness." And I believe in all my heart that Jesus is baptized so everyone can see his humility, his faithfulness, and so that Jesus can hear God the Father say to him, "I love you." How powerful those three words are. They're in our Old Testament lesson with God speaking to Israel. And it's in our gospel lesson. It's beautiful to see. A lot of people, you know, you like to look at the Trinity like a triangle, right? And sometimes this is a theological, it's a Christian doctrine that's not easy, right? When you hear the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here in this lesson, you see the Trinity. Jesus the Son goes down to the water. He's immersed. He comes up. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove. And then he hears the Heavenly Father say, "This is my Son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased." And I just think it's beautiful. If you ever read the book, The Shack, if you haven't, I recommend it. And he describes the Trinity in that way, that God is saying, here's how you relate to one another. You know, God in three persons. And here it is, right here at his baptism. And you've heard me often say, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And I want you to think of that as we go forward with this lesson, because Jesus gets to hear, "I love you," before he goes into the wilderness. Immediately for 40 days he fasts and he's tempted by the devil. And then his ministry is only 3 years. So he's baptized for the cross, that he knows this is the beginning. He needs to remember his baptism so that when he is going through hard times, that his father loves him, that he is on the path that he's supposed to be on, as difficult as it is. He's in the garden. His friends have disowned him. And he says, take this cup from me, but not my will be done, but yours. And he's faithful all the way to the cross. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Because I believe he remembers this. Do you have a father that told you you were loved? One of the greatest days of my life, 1992, 2 years before my dad died, he visited First United Methodist in Hudson. He came to a service. He met my people, the church. And after church, he came up, hear me preach. He came up to me, put his arm around me. He said, you know, John, I'm so proud of you. I love you. You're doing a good job. You know, I hang on to that every day. It wasn't like he was just throwing me a bone. He told me all the time that he loved me. But it really felt that he was, I pleased my dad with what I was doing in the church and ministry. Little did I know he was only going to live a couple more years, but don't you hang on to the words of I love you from people that you just want to hear them from. And so Jesus hears that from his heavenly Father, and then he goes into ministry for those 3 years. And no, it's not easy to allow God to baptize you. It says in water and in the Spirit. And John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And when you look at it, it was probably not easy for Jesus to just humbly give himself over to John to be baptized, immersed, to begin this ministry. And last week in St. Augustine, I love when the preacher said that love and faith are not easy. Anything worthwhile is not easy. Faith and love, it was Epiphany Sunday where God reveals God's self to us. It can be awkward. It can be times when you really have to be vulnerable, and it can be scary. It can be risky. It's discomforting to just surrender yourself to God because you don't know everything about the next step. There's an uncertainty to love, right? When you say I love you to somebody, you hope they say it back, but you don't know. All you married folks out there, who said it first, right? You just hope it comes back. You say, 1, 2, 3, let's say it together. I love you. Because, wow, when you put yourself out there, it's a risky proposition. And so I want you to realize how important it is to understand that part of our faith is this awkward, vulnerable, and uncomfortable and uncertain step of faith into the water of God's grace that we need to be immersed by. And so that's why we have these. We need to be reminded again and again that we need to bathe in God's grace. Wash me by your grace. You might already be baptized, but that doesn't mean that you don't need to be continually baptized by the Holy Spirit. And when you hear John say that, he says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. If you ever heard, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we will go rejoicing, bring it. This is it. You're bringing the wheat into the barn, into his barn. And we looked at this at our men's prayer group, and John Volpe said, I want to be in the barn. I don't want. So when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, it's a fire, meaning God's going to burn away the chaff, the things, the way you think of love that is self-centered and selfish. God's going to burn that away. And it might not be pretty to understand when you are a sinful person. And someone said just last week, I love Pastor John when you say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And that's it. That's it. I'm a sinner saved by grace. It's not by my works. We will continually fall short of the glory of God. Every single day, we need to be washed by God's grace. Because we fail at love all the time. And we need to be cleansed by grace, God's grace, all the time. And I love how I said to the kids, how many times do you take a shower a week, yeah? You know, if I play basketball and didn't shower for a couple days and did work out in the yard or something, Nancy eventually would say, you need to take a shower. You stink. Spiritually, we need to hear God say, that part of you needs to be washed clean. You need to know forgiveness. You need to repent and believe in the good news of my love. And so when we read this, it's beautiful. Lord, I enter the water to bathe. I remember my baptism. Wash me by your grace. Fill me with your spirit. Renew my soul. I pray that I might live as your child today and honor you in all that I do. We have to remember who we belong to. And I love how Isaiah 43, God is speaking to Israel. They have worshipped idols. They have they're in exile. They have failed. Yet God still loves them and says that you are precious and I love you. He says, even though you've strayed from me, I'm calling you home. You are mine. He says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. In the days of Isaiah and Jesus, people walked through waters all the time, through rivers, and sometimes they were raging, sometimes they were easy. If you ever tried to walk through a river that you thought, oh, I could do this, and you can be swept off your feet and swept away. And there's someone right maybe this morning that's their life is kind of like a whitewater rafting trip, and they've fallen out of the raft, and they're out of control, and they're feeling that. You're here to hear the message that God is with you through the waters and through the fire. And I know when you read this, you think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3. How many remember this wonderful story? It's a classic kid story where King Nebuchadnezzar says, everybody has to bow down to me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, we're not. We only bow down to God, our Lord. And so he says, well, you're thrown into the fiery furnace. The guys that threw them into the furnace were consumed by the fire. And they said, even before they were thrown into the fiery furnace, they said, even if we die, whether God saves us or not, we will not bow down. We will stay faithful because we trust in God. And the king looks in. He says, how many people did I put into the fire? Three? I see four. I see a fourth man in the fire. And for those who believe in Jesus, that's a prophecy of the incarnation, that Jesus is with us in the fire. And I love when Isaiah writes, when you walk through fire, I don't know about you, but if I'm ever, you know, the folks in Paradise, California, there wasn't a lot of walking when that fire came, right? They were running. But here it says walking. And I did a little study in the commentary, and it says, walking means you're not panicking. Walking means you're self-assured. It says, walking is the pace at which you go when you're not in a hurry, when you're not concerned or alarmed, when you're not burdened or anxious. Then you just walk. And that's what people of faith do when they're in the middle of something difficult. And they trust that God is with them. Isaiah 29:16 says, he that believes shall not make haste. That means you take a deep breath and you walk on. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. You walk through those hard times because you know the Lord is with you. You know, my brother, I thank you so much for praying for my brother Shaw. If you don't know the story, he fell off my mother's roof while he was roofing. And over two stories high, lucky to be alive, but that was November 30th. He's still struggling, going through rehab. Tomorrow, I'm going to get up early, go pick him up down on the Cape and bring him up to Worcester Medical Center and our very own Dr. John Shufflebarger, who is the best hand surgery, I'm going to say, in the world, not just the state. Comes to church and he sees everybody that he's worked on. And he goes, how's your hand? And he looks at he's going to operate on my brother's left wrist and make it better. And we're going to have a journey. It won't be easy for my brother. In fact, just walking little steps are very difficult for him. But these are steps of faith. And I don't think I've told my brother I love you within the last month. You could take the last 10 years. But when you think you might lose someone, you start saying those I love yous really fast, don't you? And The journey that he's been on has been a spiritual journey of walking through something very trying and difficult. And I know there are people that are here today that their hearts are hungry to hear, because your ears never tire to hear those words, right? And you need to hear them from God, because in the same way Jesus is modeling, we can hear God say to us, I love you. And I'm pleased with you as you make the effort to be faithful in this life. Amen? You are my child. Isn't that beautiful to hear? Do you know that when you're baptized by the Holy Spirit, it's a believer's baptism, when you say, I confess my sins, I trust in your grace, I give you my life. And then the Holy Spirit comes and you are baptized with that fire. And it is almost like a refining fire, because it's a love that's going to burn away all the dross. And it's going to reveal the gold in you. And it might hurt, because you might look back at your life and you go, you know, I've wasted time and I've lived a life that is wrong. I can't go back and change the things that I've done, things that I've said. But I believe in your grace. Your love is stronger and bigger and greater than anything, any sin I've ever done. And so today is a day to understand how important it is to trust that God is with us. Now, it's important for us to understand the incarnation, the Word made flesh. God wanted to be with us in the presence of Jesus and also through the Holy Spirit. But it reminds me of the story of a little boy, and you can maybe relate with this. You know, this little boy, middle of the night, and a terrible thunderstorm and lightning, and the boy's just frightened, and he calls out to his dad. He's, Daddy, Daddy, I'm so afraid. And the guy doesn't want to get up. His dad says, maybe I can do this remotely. And he says, son, it's okay. Don't worry. God is with you. God loves you. Just try to go back to bed. A little moment of silence. And the little boy goes, I know God loves me, but I want love with skin on. And the dad got up, went to his son, and was by his side. Now, we need God with skin on. We need to see faces of love, people that are with us, that are cheering us on, that no matter what's going on in our life, we know they love us. And they'll model that love of God for us to keep going, to get back on that path and face the glory of God. Because life is hard. It's hard to love, isn't it? To really, truly, a lot of people have given their hearts away and they've been broken, or there's family issues. And here in this place, you get empowered to forgive as you've been forgiven, to love as you've been loved. It's very difficult to do that, but it's well worth the effort. To hear God say to you, when you surrender fully to God's grace, to be fully immersed in God's grace and come up a new creation. Jesus showed us. And you'll hear those words from heaven. Heaven will open. The Holy Spirit will come and you hear God say, I love you. And I'm with you through the waters and through the fire of your life. You know, we have two boys. It was 9.5 years ago that Mary Gaffney, visiting our church humbly in the back pew, not talking to many people. Shaw was in Ethan's second grade class, but the storm of cancer came upon Marion in March of 2009. It'll be 10 years, and she battled as hard as she could. But because she came here moved by God's love to be part of a church family, when she died, she knew where her kids were going to go. Her last words at Rose Monahan Hospice House in Worcester, somehow she found the strength. She was heavily medicated because she was in great pain. And Ethan was 10 and Max was 9. And we were all around her bedside. And they said, can she hear? I said, she can hear. Tell her you love her. Tell her you love her. And they were next to her. We love you, Mom. We love you. She found the energy. Somehow her last words that she ever said in her life was, I love you. They heard it. And I remind them that the last words from their mother was, I love you. And they carry that with. They should never forget that. And I thank you for praying for me this past week, because a lot of you know we have rescue animals that we've welcomed into our homes. A lot of you do the same thing. We rescue people too, don't we? We just say, you're going to just be part of our life. We know you've been through hardship and heartache, but we welcome you. And Jenny, all of our animals have names from the Bible or from the faith. And so Genesis, and we called her Jenny, and she was a black lab mix, collie and Labrador. And they found her on the tracks in Indiana. That's all we know. Maybe a year and a half old when he got her. And we knew she was abused. We knew someone treated her very poorly. When we brought her into the home, any man that ever came into the parsonage, she would run away from. My brother came in with a hooded sweatshirt. She ran into the kennel and started peeing and shaking. And someone had treated her poorly. Women she loved, because they must have treated her well, but it took some time. But it's beautiful to understand when you, like we have a little bump sticker on the back of our car, who rescued who, you know, has a paw. Because our Jenny, when she died this past week, when we finally had to make that decision, that it was time. She had a growth on her chin. She was completely blind. She could hardly stand or walk, but that tail was going because she could hear my voice. And I would say, I love you, Jenny. She was rescued from a life on the tracks alone. And it took time, but she kept trusting. She was almost, you could just see her. She's like, is this true that I could be this loved? Every day, just little by little, wow, these people really, they comfort me. They sweetly talk to me. They take me for walks. They say, good girl, good girl. And that tale, over time, just she, her heart was filled with grace, and she was secure to the very end. When we loved her to heaven. Do you know, people are the same way. And I know a lot of people, the closest relationships they have are with their animal family members. They don't talk back, do they? They don't give us trouble. All they do is a law. But I know people need to be rescued with this grace. And that's why I wanted you to have these, so that you can remember that there's a place that you can come to and you can partake of a grace that will free you and heal you and bring you. Now, Jesus was baptized for the cross for you, for me. So that when he gave his life, you would know this is how much you are loved. Jesus took your place, died your death so that you could live and love with his love in your life. So I want us to now turn to our prayer time. We have a couple minutes, but I hope you put these up. Hope you don't put it in a drawer or I don't know. Put this up so that you're mad at your husband and your wife or your kids, and you're washing your hair and you're going, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? And then you, through the soap, you open your eyes and you focus. Oh man, do I have to? Good gracious. Why is that? Okay, God, I hear you. It's a better way. It's a harder way. Burn away the chaff. I don't want to be this way. I want to love with your love in this hurting world. And with you, that's possible, because as much as I stray, you're going to rescue me. So I want to pray, because we have more of these. If you want to give one to someone, I know there's somebody here today because someone invited them to come and be part of our church and come and visit. You need to know there's somebody that you know that's on their own. They're struggling. They're hurting. They don't know that when you're baptized by the Holy Spirit, it's the beginning of a journey that's just so beautiful. It's like any of our relationships. You never reach a point when you are all set, meaning that you are so loved by that person that they don't need to love you anymore. No, it's a journey of grace, because we're going to keep failing and we need to keep coming back to the well of God's love. So are there prayers that people would like to lift up? I'd like to pray for the government shutdown. There's a lot of people that are going through a hard time. Many of us are not being affected by it. Matter of fact, and I think we are in a sense, because we have five in college. And if you ever filled out FAFSA, which is the federal assistance aid for students, you have to go. And I hear that shut down, that you cannot get, you can't sign up for government assistance aid for financial aid for college, because those workers aren't working. You go to the website, it's shut down, and other things too. But we just want to lift that up. Other prayers amongst the people? Kim.
If you could, my husband, who is your mother, in memory care.
Okay.
She's a PK. Her name is Faith.
faith. Amen. Steve Brom's mom, Faith, going into memory care facility tomorrow. He's moving around. We want to lift him up. Other prayers amongst the people. Do you know there's a woman among us who's 85 years old? And her name is Virginia. Everybody can stare at her. She's very proud to be 85 years old, a longtime United Methodist, and she's still a quilter. And at some point, you're going to see her quilts on the walls here of the church, because on Mother's Day, our plan, right, Virginia, we're going to invite people that quilt, or if you know someone who quilt, surround quilts of women. I guess guys do quilting too, I'm sure, but most of them are from loving women, motherly, grandmotherly women, and on Mother's Day, right? Virginia has enough to surround the whole church a couple times over, right? A longtime member of Lemonster United Methodist Church, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Virginia. Happy birthday to you. Have you ever had your birthday on Sunday? All these years, no preacher's ever sung to you in the pulpit. This was the day. Amen. Other prayers this morning that we'd like to lift up? If not, let's take this moment to be together in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we lift up to you our prayers. And we thank you that you are with our friends and with our loved ones, our family members. I want to lift up Tim Wright, who's recovering from heart surgery and shines so bright with your love. He remembers his baptism. He remembers he belongs to you. And through the fire, through the water, you're there with him. And same with Scott Salvucci recovering from surgery and many others in our congregation. Thank you for Virginia's birthday today, Janet Moulter's birthday tomorrow, and many others. Thank you that we're in a church that seeks to bring your grace to people who are hurting so that they can be baptized by your love and live a life of faith. Lord, it's not easy, but Lord, we thank you for the purpose you give to us to love with your love in this hurting world. Lord, there are so many people that need to be reminded that you love them, and help us to not be afraid to share, I love you. Lord, we thank you, God, that we can experience this love again and again right here in this place and then go forth to share it with others. And so we pray for Steve Brom and his mom, Faith, and thank you that you're there with them in this time and with all those who are facing changes in life and living conditions. Thank you that you're the constant, that you can strengthen us, encourage, that you're the fourth person in the fire with us. All these prayers and many more, spoken and unspoken, we lift to you in the name of Jesus, who've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 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 Right when I was praying that, I remember I was a young preacher. Have you ever said I love you to someone that you really didn't mean to say it, like you're on the phone with them? I remember distinctly talking to someone in the church. I'm a young pastor, so, and I always say I love you to my mother when I hang up. I said, okay, all right, we'll see you then. Okay, take care. I love you. Click. And I'm like, oh my God, what did I just do? What did I just do? And now, 30 years later, I'm like, Henry, I love you. I love you. Grace, I love you. Gene, I love you. You know, I don't hold back. And so it is a little bit different than years ago. And I remember when I was in kindergarten telling my kindergarten teacher, I love you by mistake. And I called her mom by mistake. And it kind of just comes out. Amen. So let's stand. Let's sing together. And we thank God for John and Denise. Let's sing together. Amen. Amazing grace. My chains are gone.